Vamos, muchachos. Here comes the colonel.
Did you just see what she did? Ooh, it's a good thing this is radio. No, Señorita, this is a serious science program. All right, welcome back. The second half hour of The Promise of Tomorrow. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. Those of you paying attention know that the Green Technology Conference went on last week, and in Corpus Christi, Texas. We're going to take you there because I was right on the floor, and I managed to corral Doug Mader and Steve Burr. They're putting on the conference, the Green Technology Conference, again next year in New Orleans. They're going to tell us all about it. And this is a pre-recorded right from the floor of the Green Technology Conference in Corpus Christi. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we have here on the set. Rummage around in the coin jar just a little bit here.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Yes. A few coins thrown in, and we have awakened the spirit of the fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. All right. Oh, spirit of the fountain, how about a U.S. history question now? All right. Are you up on your U.S. history, are you? What U.S. city was the western terminal for both the Pony Express and the first Transcontinental Railroad? The first Transcontinental Railroad and the Pony Express stopped at what western city? Oh, spirit of the fountain.
Hmm? I have given you my answer. And now you may tell the other.
Aha, the spirit of the fountain knows. Well, do our listeners know? Hmm? The U.S. city that was the western terminus for both the Pony Express and the first Transcontinental Railroad? If you, you probably think it was Sacramento, don't you? But, in fact, you're right. Sacramento, California. All right. Now, pre-recorded to Corpus Christi.
All right, I'm here on the floor of the Green Tech Conference going on in Corpus Christi this week. We've been telling you about this all year long, and it finally has happened, and I'm really delighted. I'm here with Stephen Berg, who's a committee member for the next conference that's going on in New Orleans next year, and Doug Mader, who's the chairman of the technical committee, and we're getting out the call for papers, and we're looking for some real good talent for the next show. Welcome to the program, Doug.
Well, thank you, Carl. Very glad to be here.
And Steve?
Good morning. Thank you for joining.
Yes, it's wonderful to be with you too. It's been a very exciting conference. We heard some extremely good speakers. Now, Doug, you've got a call for papers going out, and you're looking for speakers for New Orleans for April of when?
April of 2015 in New Orleans.
In New Orleans, where?
At the Intercontinental Hotel, which is down in the heart of the downtown area of New Orleans, a few blocks from the French Quarter.
So we'll all be able to get in a lot of trouble when we're not at the conference.
Yes, that's one of our big challenges, of course, is maintaining people's attention on the important things of the conference with all the distractions of the wonderful city of New Orleans that we enjoy so much. We're so fortunate to live there.
Absolutely, and I noticed that you are actually from New Orleans. Say a few things for us.
Yes, I am a native of the South, and of course you can tell by a little bit of accent you all may have, because my diction is perfect. But we're big fans of the South, and I know you would enjoy New Orleans a lot.
Yeah, the times that I've been there, it's been, of course, a very exciting time, but I've not been there for business. The times that I've been in New Orleans has been for fun. But your Mardi Gras had a bit of a trouble this year with the weather, I think, didn't you?
Well, it was a little different, but of course different weather is what we see daily. You know, as many people say around the world, if you want to see a change in the weather, wait a few minutes.
Yeah, for sure. All right, now what are the kind of speakers that you're looking for, Doug?
Well, you know, the green technology industry is facing challenges going forward. We're seeing a downturn in tax incentives coming on the forefront. And we're seeing in some ways a maturing of the green technology development, green technology sustainability. So we're focusing in New Orleans on three major themes. We call the overall theme Green Tech for Economic and Environmental Sustainability, with a subtitle of Surviving Change and Building the Future. And so we are looking at lessons learned? What have we learned in the past several years of green technology development and deployment in the United States and around the world? And let's remember, this is an international conference, very much so, not just a U.S.-based conference. So we're looking for lessons learned. We're looking for the challenges and opportunities in green technology going forward. And we're looking at robustness of the grid. We're looking at resilience. We're expanding the green technology focus to include things like challenges in high voltage transmission build-out, delivering of renewable energy, the role of microgrids. We want to have a track around energy efficiency and asset management, electric transportation, and these kind of themes, but the overall focus on sustainability for the future. What technologies are going to sustain into the future economically and environmentally?
Yeah, I noticed you're talking about the international. Dr. Zong is from Sheffield, England, and I talked to him at this particular conference. And he came here to Corpus Christi by way of Beijing and Mumbai. And so there's a world traveler. So yes, these conferences do involve people all from around the world. And you were talking about electric vehicles, but one of your speakers here said that the future for electric vehicles is very, very dim. Did you happen to hear his speech?
Well, we heard his speech this morning, his keynote, and we believe that, as he, I believe, was saying this morning, that the future of electric vehicles needs to focus in the international world. It's typical of what is the future going to be in terms of sustaining that technology. And so that theme of working into the international need and where the sweet spot for electric vehicle development is really in the low-cost electric vehicle, using conventional lead-acid batteries, short-range, 40 to 50 miles, that can really help and to improve the lives of people in poor countries, for example. And so this is typical of the kind of thing that we really want to focus on in the New Orleans Conference, Green Tech. We've had this conference now for a number of years, and one of the renewed focuses we have, which goes along the theme of the electric vehicle, is talking about the utilization side. We've spent a lot of time talking about the supply side of green tech, solar, wind, wave power. All these things are good. But we need to talk as well in green technologies in the form of utilization. How do we efficiently utilize electricity? How do we green the utilization of energy in a sustainable both economic and environmental way?
Yeah, I see that challenge, and I think you do too, don't you?
Yes, indeed. We, in this morning's lecture, heard the presentation of the great utility of electric vehicles for short distance, that they're not very effective if you have to cross the state of Texas, for instance. That's a two-day adventure in an electric vehicle, while the electric vehicle serves a great purpose for inner-city transportation when we commute back and forth to work and don't exceed 20 to 50 miles in the entire day's journey. So for that, they're effective, but for any distance commute, they are not. We also believe that is partly the case with renewable green energies. They're good for short-haul transmission, but they don't generate, you know, some of the residential green technologies like solar doesn't generate enough energy to be that transportable. And then the storage of that generated energy becomes a question as well, because if you're not utilizing it 100% of its generation, it's either wasted off in heat, or you have to find a storage method, and that gets it a little costly. So these are the things, as Doug said, that we hope to bring to bear at the Green Tech 15 conference in New Orleans, a way of properly utilizing those green energies.
Yeah, that's a lot of challenges, and I'm glad you guys are having these conferences, because these are all such gripping issues when it moving forward in the area of renewables. You talked about electric vehicles being for short haul, and of course your keynote speaker this morning pointed out that you're not going to want to drive one up to Duluth, Minnesota sometime in the wintertime, because the battery capacity will go so low. But if you're going to really utilize these electric vehicles for short haul, somehow somehow or other, the price is going to have to come down. Don't you agree?
Of course. And as with any new technology, the initial costs bear the burden of the research and development. So new electric vehicles today are quite pricey, while when the manufacturing becomes more constant and much more so prevalent, the price will no doubt go down. That's a standard market action, I think.
Absolutely. And Doug, you had a comment you want to make on that?
Well, just to develop a little bit about the theme that Dr. Asani talked about this morning in his keynote address, to your point, Steve, I thought very eloquently stated and pointed out was how the second generation, the next generation of electric vehicles, how the sweet spot for the United States, to your point, Colonel, is the new generation of hybrid electric vehicles, focusing on the sweet spot for the efficiency of electric motors, which is that low power accelerating phase of the vehicle, and the sweet spot for the internal combustion engine, which is for the sustained long distance travel. And what he very eloquently pointed out, I thought, this morning, was he demonstrated on a typical North American vehicle that's in widespread use today, a hybrid, that if we applied this theory to the design of that vehicle, that we could, in fact, extend its effective net gas mileage.
Are you talking about the Volt, the Chevy Volt?
No, we're talking about the Toyota Prius.
Oh, really?
And he demonstrated a case where if the Prius were redesigned in terms of what his view is of the next generation of hybrid, the vehicle could actually get close to 50 miles per gallon, whereas today it doesn't quite achieve that. And it would improve its overall efficiency. So his point was really well taken in that the hybrid electric vehicle really does have a place in North America. It's certainly far from being dead. But this would also go to the point, Steve, that you raised of decreasing the price. Because if you make a smaller battery, right, that's only focused in that particular sweet spot of the vehicle's performance curve, then you end up with a cheaper vehicle that is more efficient from an energy use perspective.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We're talking about all these these alternative energy things, but you know, when you talk about electricity generation, what, half the generation of electricity in this country is done by coal. Nuclear only accounts for maybe 8 or 10% and the other stuff is kind of thrown in here and there. And then you're talking about electric vehicles and the viability of them, but we had a guest on our program not too long ago, Don Hildebrand from Argonne National Labs in Chicago, who has an internal combustion engine that they have to test the emissions of in a room that they've already cleaned the air, because the emissions from the engine is cleaner than the air in the city of Chicago. Now, if internal combustion engines are going to do this, and we have a 300-year supply of fossil fuels, how in the devil, Steve, do you see that electricity is ever going to be very viable?
Well, yeah, I would say that the generation of electricity, though it may still present the carbon footprint of some old internal combustion engines, the generation of electricity and utilization of electricity in automobiles reduces the in my opinion, reduces the amount of effort mankind has to put into the maintenance of an automobile by reducing the moving parts in the vehicle by over 1,000 pieces. Of course, that helps in maintenance and cost.
Okay, and then Doug, you work for an energy distribution company, I think. Entergy? Do you work for Entergy?
I work for Power Utility in New Orleans. Yes,
the Power Utility in New Orleans, I think, really, isn't it?
That's correct. Yes.
So you have a great deal of insight of where this power comes from.
Well, I've been in this business for 42 years, and of course, anything I say in the context of this broadcast is not the official position of my company. I'm speaking as the section chair of IEEE.
Yeah, I think we ought to make that real clear. We're not holding it.
That's right. But certainly, the point Steve raised is quite important, and it kind of dovetails somewhat with the theme as well that Dr. Asani presented this morning, which is that what he pointed out is that certainly in large part due to the natural gas play that we see in this country today, the United States and Canada have both been able to reduce their overall greenhouse gas emissions and sustain those at levels without seeing a lot of growth. And he showed a slide this morning where that's projected. But yet in the developing world, which is the vast majority of the world we're talking about, the projected growth in fossil fuel usage is going up exponentially. So the real attractive play for the green technologies like electric vehicles is for us to utilize the talent, the engineering talent in this country, to develop those technologies for deployment in the third world to reduce that prospective growth in fossil fuel usage.
So that's really the key. It isn't for us here stateside who have this nice, comfy living, but how are we going to take care of the people in Bangladesh? Is that the story, Steve?
Well, that's the story today. I don't think we should ignore the use of particularly electric or hybrid vehicles in this country because we have it so good. But if we properly utilize the green technologies in this country, we'll have it good for much longer.
Yeah, well, if you're talking about going to these developing countries and we're going to be using electric vehicles, you're going to have some way of charging them up. And I don't know if they have the electrical grid distribution that we have in the United States. Are you talking about charging them with solar and wind and other things like that?
Well, that is a challenge, and I'm sure that that's a subject that needs much, much more investigation before we can really realize the utility of such equipment in third world countries.
Yeah, well, Doug is works for energy. He's an engineer for energy, but I don't know. What do you do in New Orleans? How are you in the energy business?
I am a consulting engineer in communications in particular, have a background in power and energy, but have converted to communications as the advent of cellular technology came out, found a nice niche. But I own a consulting firm, Crescent Consultants Incorporated. Been there for a little over a quarter of a century and still feeding the family.
Very, very, very good to do. Doug, you're with the utility in New Orleans. I have to ask you. I hear that these utilities are not don't want to build any new power plants any more than you have to. So are you kind of looking to the neat things that are going to be happening with the utilization of the eastern grid, the western grid, and the Texas grid, all in Clovis, New Mexico, so that you don't have to burn off all that excess fuel? Or I see you laughing. I'm asking you a question you're not prepared to answer, I guess.
No, I I really don't have an opinion with respect to that.
Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you too, then, we're in Corpus Christi, and Corpus Christi's big oil. And when we were talking to people about the excitement of having this show here, it seems that most of the people excited about it are not from Corpus Christi, because everybody in Corpus Christi, all they want to talk about is natural gas. And I don't know, is that going to be different in New Orleans?
Well, I think that natural gas certainly is a big player in the health of the economy of Louisiana as well, both as a source of electric generation as well as feedstock for all the industries that we have in Louisiana. And so the natural gas abundance that we see now in the country, with the price coming down from the heights it was at in the early part of this decade, and certainly the last decade down to where it is today, that's had both good and bad consequences for depending on what business you're in.
Yeah, I guess so. And the show, Steve, taking place, the conference taking place in New Orleans next April. What is the main emphasis that you would like to see presented at that particular conference, or is it just a matter of throwing it out and seeing what cream rises to the surface?
Well, I would think that the emphasis of this being green technology is the utilization, deployment of technologies that are burgeoning today for the good of our future. That is basically the theme of the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers, is doing good for the future. And that's what we look to see in New Orleans for the Green Tech Conference.
All right. How about you, Doug? Can you add to that?
Well, the engineering profession, and certainly the IEEE is a large organization with almost 200,000 members in this country, or a little over 200,000. 207,000, Steve is telling me, in this country, represents a large portion of the wonderful engineering talent that the United States can be proud of. And certainly the United States is well positioned to contribute to the development of green technologies, not only in this country but around the world. And IEEE's goal is to serve its members, to support them in their very important role of contributing to that development and sustaining it.
All right, we're sure looking forward to the New Orleans event in April, and I'm very pleased to see you guys getting a nice early start in promoting that particular conference, because as we all know, time is not the conference producer's friend. Time eats you crazy. Well, Steve Burr, a final word?
Yes, please join us in 2015. That'll be April 16th and 7th for IEEE's Green Tech Conference. We'll be on beautiful St. Charles Avenue, just blocks away from the famous Vucaré. Yes, our wonderful French Quarter, which is rich in history, rich in art and culture, and of course we'll be rich in technology and education at Green Tech, as well as food. Yes,
the Bucaré. I love the Bucaré.
And as one famous musician of New Orleans would say, red beans and rice liors.
Sounds terrific. Final word, Technical Chair Douglas Mader.
Well, we'll be looking for a lot of wonderful contributions from the technical community around the world who are involved in green technology, and we're looking forward to as many of those folks as possible attending our event in New Orleans. Thanks.
All right. Sounds wonderful. Doug Mader, Technical Chair for the IEEE Green Technology Conference going on in April of 2015. And Steve Burr, so glad to have you both with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Colonel.
And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
You know, with regards to cyber warfare is, I would say stay current with, what's happening out there. I think if you're a corporation, even if you're a small company, you should realize that your intellectual property is likely your most valuable resource, and you should take every effort to try to protect that. And I think as citizens of the United States, we should accept the fact that investments in cyber warfare is something that we should embrace as a priority for our government, because so much of our lives is dependent on computer systems, and I think as citizens, we should appreciate this and accept that this has to be elevated as a priority. Paulo Shakarian, I'm a major in the U.S. Army and an assistant professor in the Department of Electrical Engineering and Computer Science at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you. I